Good morning. What a joy it is to be with you today as we come together and worship and praise the one and only true living God. Amen. What kind of leadership does a group of people who have come out of darkness unto a worldwide mission? How do you lead people whose goal in their life is to glorify God? Today, we're going to be talking about elders. If you're visiting with us, the church is overseen by elders, often called shepherds. The only hierarchy in the church on earth is elders and everyone else underneath them. The elders have the authority to rule over the local congregation. The deacons, preachers, and all members are on the same plane. Elders oversee the congregation in which they serve. All churches of Christ are autonomous. That means they're all freestanding. The elders of our congregation cannot tell another church of Christ what to do. That's by the wisdom of God. But the head of the church is Jesus Christ, who reigns from heaven above. Below Jesus are the elders and then everyone else. We have no earthly synagogue. We have no councils. We have no head of the church on earth. The head of the church is Jesus. As we begin the process of seeking out new men to serve as elders, we need to be aware of what the Scriptures teach, what the Holy Spirit has put forth for the work of the elders to be. As we notice the elders, according to the New Testament Scriptures, there are specific qualifications given that they must fulfill to serve in that role. They're found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. There are six names given for elders in Scripture. That is, elders, bishops, shepherds, overseers, pastors, and presbyters. Presbyters come from 1 Timothy 4:14, where it says, the laying on the hands of the presbytery. So there's where presbyters come from. Your translation may not have all six, but all six words are founded in the Greek text. As we notice the work of an elder, our study is going to be in two parts. Today we're going to study the work of an elder, and next Sunday we're going to study the qualifications of an elder. Next Sunday there'll be a form in your bulletin for you to take and approach a man to ask him if he's willing to serve, which you will sign and they will also sign. So we need to be aware of what the Scriptures teach. And as you recommend men, you need to be sure you understand what the role and work of an elder is. Now, I want to notice three Greek words. I don't want to get bogged down in the Greek, but we need to understand there are three Greek words in the original text that applies to elders. The first word is presbyteroi. It's translated elder. Its primary meaning has to do with age. An elder is to be an older man. An elder needs to be a spiritually mature man. That is, he has been a Christian long enough to understand the work of the Lord, to understand the Holy Scriptures, and to understand the responsibility. The Greek term has to do with decision making. The next Greek word is episkopoi, is translated bishop or overseer. It has to do with administration. This responsibility includes overseeing the work of those under him to whom he has given various tasks. For example, deacons are given various tasks by the elders to oversee that specific work. And the third word is poimaina, translated pastor or shepherd. It is the term for the responsibility of tending the flock. This term emphasizes the personal relationship between leaders and followers. It's concerned with preaching and teaching. Now, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we're going to notice verse 28. And that's going to be our major lesson text this morning. Acts chapter 20 in verse 28. And the first thing I want us to notice that the work of an elder includes being self-disciplined. Let's read verse 28. Paul says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." To whom is Paul writing in this verse? Well, let's back up to verse 17. It says, "Now from Miletus, he," that is Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." So Paul is writing to the Ephesian elders. He's writing to elders of the church. And what's the very first thing he tells the elders to do? He tells them to pay careful attention to yourselves. First, an elder is to be sure he is right with God. He needs to be sure he's walking righteously with God. And he's to be self-disciplined in following faithfully the text put before us to serve as an elder. If he finds something amiss in his life, then he is to instantly make it right. If that includes repenting and seeking forgiveness, he's to do so. But the first job of an elder is to take care of himself. What does he tell him next? Well, elders have the responsibility to take care of themselves physically, and then they have the responsibility of watching over others. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock." The others is all of us. They have the job to watching over the flock or the congregation, the members of the church here at Western Hills. They're responsible to watch over us and see that we're walking faithfully before God as well. As they watch over us, it makes me think of the term shepherd, which is also another word for elder. Shepherd, what do shepherds do? They tend the sheep. They watch over the flock. So what do elders do? Elders are to feed the flock. They're to be sure that we're being fed spiritually. They need to make sure the preacher and all Bible class teachers and anyone instructing in the congregation are feeding the flock according to the teachings of Scripture. Next, elders are to watch over the flock, which I just mentioned. In Hebrews 13, they're to watch over us, and they're going to have to give an account for our souls. They will be responsible for giving an answer come judgment day, "Oh, my faith." So, elders are concerned about you and in your life and whether or not you're serving God. Well, not only are they to watch over the flock, elders are to search for lost sheep. What do I mean from that? The elders have a responsibility. If you drift away from God, if you stop coming to worship and participating in the fold, they have the responsibility to come find you and ask why you haven't been coming to worship. Why have you been serving the Lord? Because they're going to have to give an account. Now, most people don't like the idea of an elder keeping up with what's going on in my life. But they're going to have to answer for your soul come judgment day. Now, if the elders do their job and they come to seek after you, they may have to lead you back to Jesus. They may have to remind you of the seriousness of being faithful to our Lord. Well, what if I don't want to? Well, then the elders are free from innocent blood. Or the elders have innocent blood. That is, they will not be held accountable if you refuse to heed the warning to return to Jesus. Look at verses 26 and 27. Paul says, "Therefore I testify you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. If the elders are being sure you're being taught, if they're feeding you, if they're watching over you, and you disappear or get lost, and then they come to you and explain to you the choice you're making, and you decide you're going to go that way anyway, then they will not be held accountable come judgment day, because they had done everything they could to be sure you understood your choices. Well, next, the elders are to lead the sheep. They lead us. They're to be out in front of us. Sheep follow the shepherd, and our elders are to be the leader of the congregation. And they're to be an example to the sheep. We should be able to look at the life of an elder and say, that man is living the way a Christian should. He is to be an example before us, leading us. As we notice all the work and what the shepherds are to do, you need to think on such as you seek to nominate someone to lead the congregation. God's leadership has always been about caring for and feeding the sheep. It's always been about the sheep. It has not been about budgets, programs, attendance, inspirational services, correct music, or a host of other issues to which we give emphasis today. In many churches today, the total role of eldership has gone to administration and not of caring for the sheep. But it's always been about the sheep. They're to watch over the fold and watch over the flock and be sure we're faithfully serving God. So as you think of someone you want to approach to ask if they'd be willing to serve as an elder, you need to ask yourself, do I feel confident that this man will be concerned about my soul? Do I think this man will be sure I'm being fed spiritually? And do I believe this man will come looking for me if I were to drift away from God? That's what you're looking for when you look for a man to recommend before the congregation to serve as one of our elders. The elders are responsible for the administration of spiritual food. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, how are elders to nourish the flock? In Peter, we're told that as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may be able to grow thereby. Newborn babes are new Christians. Elders are to be sure new Christians are being served the word, the foundational principles of the word, so they'll be able to grow and mature in their faith. But elders are also to be sure that Christians, faithful Christians, are being given the weightier matters of the law, to be sure that they're studying the scriptures deeply, because they are responsible for the spiritual flock. Mature Christians need solid food. Well, in administration of spiritual food, one of the qualifications of an elder is that he is able to teach. He can teach from the pulpit as a preacher. He can teach Bible classes. He can teach small groups. He can teach individually. But an elder must be able to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How he can lead us in being faithful unto God and walking according to the teachings of the Holy Word if he's not able to teach us what it says? So one of the qualifications is an elder is to be able to teach. Now, are elders the only ones who can teach? Well, no. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it lists there were apostles, there were prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers of the church. So people can teach, but all teaching is under the oversight of the elders to be sure you're teaching God's word and only God's word. All teaching falls under their oversight. And then elders are to rule over the house of God. Are elders rulers? Well, let's turn to two passages. First, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I want us to notice verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, down in verse 17. We ask our elders, rulers. In verse 17 it says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." If they rule, then they're rulers. And it says, "Let them be considered worthy of double honor." What that means, the term double honor in the Greek had to do with payment. Some elders may be paid if they dedicate themselves full time to teaching and preaching the word and overseeing the flock. And it says, consider worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. The majority of the elders are not paid. It's all free service. They freely volunteer to lead the congregation of God's people. The next verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 12. Since the elders are our rulers, it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So we have a responsibility to respect our elders and hold them in high esteem as our shepherds because they rule over us. So if they're rulers, how are they to rule? How are the elders to be ruling over us? Well, not under compulsion. That is, you don't force a man to serve as an elder. Not for shameful gain. He's not just serving an elder because he's being paid. He just wants to make money. And not domineering over the flock. They are to rule willingly because they desire the work. They're to rule eagerly and putting forth a good example of one walking faithfully before God with all humility. So as we consider men to approach and request and whether or not they will serve as an elder, we need to keep these in mind about how they're going to rule over us. The Hebrew writer commands us to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Hebrews 13:7. We mentioned earlier, elders are going to give an account for each of us. So as you consider a man to put before the congregation, and it has to be a man, because one of the qualifications of an elder is that he's the husband of one wife. So as you consider men to put before the congregation and become one of your elders, first ask yourself, are they self-disciplined? Next slide. Do they have the ability to watch over others? Are they well-versed enough in the Bible to be teachers? And are they able to rule over people with a meek and humble spirit? And if you said no to any of those, do you want them ruling over you? The office of an elder is the highest position any man can hold upon earth as a leader of the congregation of God's people. Men, serving as an elder, think of the number of souls you could lead to Jesus Christ. As you consider being an elder, think of the number of people you could help keep out of hell as you serve them as a faithful leader. No greater office upon earth than serving as an elder or a shepherd or a bishop or a leader of the children of God. You know, elders are to live pure and holy lives before us as examples. But that applies to every one of us. We're all to walk righteously before God. We're all to strive to be holy as God is holy. We're looking to add additional elders to oversee us. to make sure we're growing closer to God every day. Men, if you're approached and you meet the qualifications, I pray you will sincerely consider watching over all of us and fulfilling that great role. As all of us are to walk righteously before God, we always have to reflect inward, and we have to ask ourselves, am I following God faithfully? And if I'm not, I need to do something about it. If I'm not a Christian baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins, then are you ready to be baptized into Christ? We have water ready and garments you can change into, and you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing you're walking righteously in the sight of our Lord God Almighty. If you are a Christian, then we constantly have to reflect within and be sure we're faithful. And if I've drifted away, maybe I need to repent and come back. If I have sin in my life, then I definitely need to repent and seek God's forgiveness. If you have a need in your life today that you need to bring to God to make your life right with Him, then we want to give you the opportunity by encouraging you to respond to the front as we stand and sing.